So last week in Zechariah 7, we kind of finished the practical side, the visions that he had, where God challenged Israel and said, "Did you fast unto me? Or were you just doing ritualistic religion with hearts that weren't right?" And of course, good lesson for us as well. But tonight now, we move kind of into a separate section of Zechariah, which is more prophetic. And that'll be true for most of the rest of Zechariah. And like I shared, there are more prophecies about the ministry of Jesus in Zechariah than any other book except Isaiah in the Old Testament. So here in chapter 8, God now, in the midst of some rebukes we've seen in the beginning, gives them a reminder of his great promise that he will one day give them their city back and their kingdom, and that he will be part of it. So it's actually a very beautiful promise here in Zechariah chapter 8. So beginning in verse 1 of Zechariah 8, it says, "Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast. Neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah, and house of Israel, so will I save you. And you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. And that'll be our title tonight, God is with you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the privilege to be here this evening and to open your word. We ask now the Holy Spirit would use it in our hearts and lives, and remind us that you are a God that keeps your promises, Lord. And so we pray you'll be lifted up and pleased with this service, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This goes all the way back to the beginning. When God promised Israel their land, he promised them a kingdom. They're still waiting. And so God is looking forward past the church age, which at this point was parenthetical and unknown to the Old Testament prophets, past the tribulation period into the return of Jesus Christ and Israel's kingdom, which they've been waiting for. And a beautiful summary of what God plans to do for his people in that coming time. So let's look at it. Verse 3, he says he will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. So God will be there. The Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, will be physically there in Jerusalem during this kingdom. Remember back in chapter 2, if you turn there quickly, of Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And so during the kingdom age, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, will be there in Jerusalem, in the flesh. Not only that, but it goes on to say there in verse 3, Jerusalem should be called a city of truth and the holy mountain. Well, we all know this is not true today, is it? It's definitely not the city of truth. But there will come a day when Jerusalem will be this holy city of truth. Holy mountain referring to the kingdom, and city of truth referring to future Jerusalem. So go to Isaiah 60, verse 14, and we'll see another verse about this great prophecy that Jerusalem will become a city of truth. Isaiah 60 and verse 14. Notice it says, the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Quite different from what we see today on the news, isn't it? This is what will happen in Jerusalem. God will be there. It will be the holy city of truth. And as he says there in verse 7 of our passage, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. They've been scattered now for 2.5 millennium. Think about that. We don't know how much longer, but when it's over, God will regather them back to their land, their promised land. And when he does that, go to Romans 11, if you would, verse 26. When he does that, Israel will be saved. So this is part of that fourth and final unconditional covenant of the Old Testament from the book of Ezekiel, the new covenant where God will give the Israel a new heart. Notice Romans 11, verse 26, Paul here quoting this covenant. He says, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So as a nation, they will be saved. They will recognize who Jesus is and they will trust him as their Messiah and as their Savior. They will be regathered from all corners of the earth, reinstilled into their land, and God will be there, and it will be Jerusalem will be the city of truth. And they will be God's people. Now that was true way back. Hasn't been true for a very long time. But they will be God's people. And if you look in chapter 13 of Zechariah, we'll see this great promise repeated for us. Zechariah 13 verse 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire. So this is talking about the tribulation period. One third of the Jews survived the tribulation. And will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. So God will be there. It will be the city of truth. They will be restored into their land from the four corners of the earth, and they will be God's people. Hallelujah. Back to our passage, Zechariah 8, verse 12. He says at the end of the verse, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. He's talking about all these blessings that he's promised. And if you go to Isaiah 65, verse 21, God summarizing for us here in Isaiah 65 how wonderful the kingdom will be. Isaiah 65, down in verse 21. Notice it says, "And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring is with them." So this is what God's promising Israel in the future, that they will have their city again. It will be the holy city of truth. God will physically be there, ruling and reigning in the person of Jesus Christ. They'll be restored from all four corners of the earth. They will be saved as a nation. Their labors will be blessed. But beyond that, look at verse 13 of our passage, Zechariah 8. "And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing." So right now, most of the world hates Israel. There's going to come a time when most of the world will love Israel, because Israel will be a blessing. Look at Zephaniah, if you would, just back a couple books from Zechariah. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 20. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord." So they will be a praise among all people of the earth. And we saw what will happen. People will say, I want to go to Jerusalem. I want to know a Jew, because they're God's people and it's God's city. And how different from what we see today. And this, you know, these promises cause a lot of people to scoff at the Word of God. Not us as Christians. Amen. We know. Every single one of these promises are going to come true. And the great news is we will be there. Verse 22 of our passage. "Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord." People will physically come to Jerusalem. It will be the center of worship, not for Israel, but for the entire world. And we looked recently at how all the nations will come at least once a year to worship. And if they don't, Jesus withholds the rain. But let's look at Isaiah 2:2, if we could. And just to be reminded that this will become, Jerusalem will become the center of all worship. Isaiah 2:2. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it." So Jerusalem will become the center of all worship. Zechariah 14, if you would, and verse 16, the last chapter of Zechariah. Chapter 14, verse 16. "And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." How beautiful. God will be there in person. Jerusalem will be the holy city of truth. The Jews will be saved as a nation, and their land will be restored to them. Their city will be theirs again. They will be God's people. Their labors will be amazingly blessed. And they will be a blessing to all other nations. And it will become the center of worship for the whole world. And I love that final verse, verse 23. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." You know, this is what the world should be saying about you and I today. Amen? God is with you. They should be able to see that when trials come, we respond differently. They should be able to see that God answers our prayers, and that we act differently, that we act like people that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, they should be able to look and say, God is with you. There's going to come a day when that will be said of the Jews in their kingdom, in Jerusalem, in Israel. And as I shared, you and I, we get to be grafted in and get to be part of it. But there will come a day when it will be said of Israel and of Jerusalem, God is with you. Hallelujah. Won't that be an exciting day? Quite the contrast from today. It just shows us that God's not finished with Israel or with this world or with us. There's so much to be done. So much is going to happen. Praise God, we have Him on our side. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for these beautiful truths and promises that You've given to Your people. And pray, Lord, as we contemplate them, that we would continue to pray for Your people, the Jews, but we would also, Lord, be that light during this age. Lord, that we would be the people that others would say, God is with You. And Lord, we would stand for Christ, we would live for Christ, we would be a reflection of Christ. Lord, knowing that someday everyone who trusts Christ can be part of this beautiful time. And so we are grateful for Your love and mercy. We ask that You guide us in Your perfect will this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.